Prayer also expresses, it's a chance to express dependency and trust on God. It puts us in a position of a receiver rather than a controller. Mm-hmm. We are now coming to God to say, I trust you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The essence of the Christian faith is just that, faith, mm-hmm. called to faith. And that happens as we come to God in prayer and saying, I'm trusting you for this. He does want us to bring every detail before him, not just because we think we have a good idea of how that should play itself out, but just to say, I'm trusting you with mm-hmm. this. This
yes.
is an area
yeah.
that I'm trusting you. And we've talked about this before on the podcast. He certainly wants us to tell him what we want, but it's at the end, we're just trusting him
yes.
in that area because his plan is far greater than ours.
Yes.
This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in his perspective, his presence, his pace. What difference does prayer make? Can we change God, or does he just change us? And what's the point of prayer anyway? I mean, doesn't God have a plan? And if he does, can we change it? And if we could change it, I wonder, would we even want to?
Yeah.
This is episode 28 of season 2 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Ryan is with me in the studio. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see us together. Seems like we always wear ball caps on,
yeah.
on this. I don't know why, but it's always the case. So
I know.
He's the bad guy with the dark hat. I'm the good guy with the light hat.
I kind of consider myself to be more of a Anakin Skywalker.
There you go. Okay, there you go.
I know your son will appreciate the reference.
Good reference.
Okay.
Yeah, very good reference.
Where I'm just maybe a little misunderstood. You know, the Jedi Council, I'm going to get lost in the weeds here. The Jedi Council just didn't let me do what I wanted to do.
Oh, I got
you. You know what I mean?
All right.
So
all right.
That was it.
Well, I'm just trying to help people identify which voice goes with which
yes,
person.
Yes, for sure.
Ryan is in the black cap. I'm in the white one today. We're opposites.
Yep.
Good to have you with us. If you're listening along, I think, we welcome you too on the audio podcast. Today, I want to talk about why do we pray at all, and what's the difference that prayer makes. But before we do, I just want to talk about our previous episode,
because
we had a little bit of a fumble on that one.
We had a little bit of a fumble on the video end, which is a bummer. But you know, that was my bad. So.
Well, it was. I think it was it got lost in the, the technology.
Sure.
Technology. The devil's in the technology. It always is.
It's so funny because it's like, you know, I try and you set up, fail safes, but still there's just sometimes, when you're rendering things and moving things around and, it just gets lost sometimes, which is a bummer because I wish we would have had it, but at least we have the audio. So,
well, we have the audio. So I just want to say, if you only follow along on YouTube,
right,
you're going to say, what happened?
What happened?
Went from episode 26 to episode 28, but
right.
There is an episode 27. It's the hidden episode, the
yes.
lost episode.
The lost episode. Yes.
And
yes.
you can find it on the audio podcast,
yes.
any of
yes.
the places you get audio podcasts. So
right.
it is there. And I actually think it was a really valuable conversation we had. So
yes, I think so too.
If you didn't catch it, I encourage you to find it.
Right.
Episode 27. We talked about the difference between the prayer, God catch me
mm-hmm.
and God lead me.
Right.
And to me, that's a very helpful way to think about
yes.
things. So
yeah, for sure.
So I just, if you have extra time and you didn't catch it, I encourage you to find that one. We also talked about how you use the term TFTI with me.
Yes, yes,
and
I did.
I had to look it up.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So
I find that this is happening a lot with you.
What's that?
Is that I keep not getting invited to things.
So if you missed the episode and you're like me, you didn't know what TFTI means.
There you go.
Thanks for the invite. Yeah. But what do you, I don't know what
I'm
you
just
mean.
I'm teasing you.
I don't
I'm
know what
I'm
you
teasing.
Mean. Actually, it's just the opposite. Since the last time we were on the podcast, we hung out together
at a
concert.
Yes, we did.
We
yes,
got
we
to
did.
See Alison Krauss and yep. Union Station together. What a great concert.
I mean, just the musicianship on that stage was just incredible to watch. You know what I mean? And to listen to.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, I mean, Alison Krauss in her own right is amazing. And then, of course, the guys that are in the band mm-hmm. are individually just as incredible.
Yeah.
You know,
some
she's
of the most, the best musicians in the world.
So in that genre, yes, yeah. for sure.
For bluegrass.
For bluegrass. I mean, Russell Moore, I mean, as she also said, you know, the other singer in the Union Station, I mean, has won best male vocalist like 4 years in a row. I mean, come on. Like, it's just incredible. You know what I mean? Like, So
it was really cool to go. It's fun to go with you because you have, you know, you're so musical and I'm not. So you were able to kind of, you know, highlight things for me. I think our wives went, so the four of us went out and you were able to make it, you know, I was able to appreciate it more having being there with you.
Yeah.
I don't think you posted any pictures of us there, did you? Or
I
not?
Didn't. I didn't post. Did you post?
No, but because when people hear about us hanging out together outside of church, they lose their minds.
Yes, they do. I should have.
Why?
I don't know. I think they maybe think like we just exist at church, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so then when we do something outside of that, my Instagram gets flooded with comments of going like, what do you mean you guys are together? Like, what do you mean you guys hang out outside of church? And I'm like, yeah, we have real lives.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. You know? And I did invite you.
Yes, you did.
Years ago, or not that long ago, maybe a couple years ago or something, you posted a picture of us at Chris's party.
Yes, I did.
And people just couldn't handle it.
My Instagram has never been flooded more with comments. I mean, I could post a cool picture of, you know, me playing the guitar or playing with a cool band and nothing, crickets. All of a sudden, I post a picture of you and I together outside of the church and people lose their minds.
I love it. Well, let's do a giveaway.
Sure.
Let's do a giveaway.
Sure.
The hats are going quickly. We're down to, you know, a couple hats left. We want to give away a hat and now a puck. The two-sided puck has been super popular.
Yes, it has.
It's created a stir. I don't know if you know this. No, I think we talked about it, but we actually talked about it at the concert the other night.
Yeah.
That one of the more recent winners of the hat and puck.
Yes.
She had just broken her ankle.
You told me.
Yeah. And so she was she was kind of discouraged about that.
Right.
And she wrote such a nice email saying that winning the hat and the puck just kind of lifted her a little bit. So thanks for, you know who you are. Thanks for listening. She even said, you know, that someone heard that she had won on the podcast before her and texted her and said, you should listen to the latest episode. And she's going, I wonder if like there's something that they thought I needed to learn, you
like
know,
a deeper meaning.
But it was because she was a winner. Yep. So if you want to participate in the giveaway, we do have a couple more hats, and now we're giving away the two-sided puck, bottle opener. It's also a coaster.
Yes, it is.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Someone pointed that out to me. Is also, you'll win that as well. So you have to do it by leaving a comment on our YouTube page. You can leave up to 3 comments, or if you'd rather just send us an email, you can send us an email at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com. And either way, you're entered to win you can do up to 3 times each week, and we'll enter you in the contest. We now have, I don't know, but it looks like about 16 or 17 people in the contest that still haven't won yet. So let's do this. And you want to cut those and then select a card, and we'll see who won.
Okay. Here we go.
Here we go.
The 9 of hearts
is David.
Hey.
David. All congratulations, right. David. as our next winner, you get both a hat and a puck, two-sided puck, bottle opener.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Catch us on a Sunday, and we will get that to you. Or I actually am not sure who this David is, so
I'm going to have to go back and look.
I'll have to go back and look. But if you're, I think I do know who this is. Yeah. So anyway, but just go ahead and let us know, and we will we'll get that to you as well. Well, we're in the middle of these episodes on the lessons from the desert, where we're looking at Israel's failure in the desert, and they're also the lessons that they learned and how that kind of propelled them into the next season of their life together in the Promised Land.
Yeah.
How Moses was trying to prepare them, and we're looking at that. And today we want to think about, what difference does prayer make? Can we change God, or does He just change us? What's the point of prayer? If He has a plan, then why would we want to change it? And if it's up to us, that seems like a lot of pressure. But I feel like we pray that way. We pray as if, you know, our will is the critical thing.
Right, right, right.
So in Deuteronomy chapter 9, we spent some time on Sunday talking about this idea that God was angry with the people. He wanted them to realize that He wasn't blessing them because of their righteousness. In fact, they had failed several times. They had failed so much that God was frustrated with them. Mm-hmm. And at one point, He says He was angry enough to destroy them. And Moses then intercedes for the people. He actually spends 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying. And he pleads with God not to destroy them. And God doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really interesting story, because it begs the question, did Moses change God's mind? Was God going to do that? And did Moses do that? And the thing I would want to emphasize now, a day later, after giving that, is that that God was leading Moses all the way through this process. It wasn't as if God was surprised by Moses' prayer and suddenly I had never thought of that,
right,
Moses,
right.
You know, and like Moses somehow brought something to God's mind that he had never thought of. Instead, when you look at this chapter, you realize that God was leading Moses to the place where he was praying these things all along. What I pointed out in the message, and I guess I'd want to underscore today, to me is just so profound, is the idea that God didn't have to tell Moses how he was feeling, what he was thinking,
right,
about the people, where he was, when only focused on their sinfulness and their, what he called, their stiff-neckedness, their stubbornness. God didn't have to disclose to Moses the natural end result of their sin, that it led to destruction. Sin always leads to destruction, but God didn't have to fill Moses in and tell him that. He could have acted immediately without informing or consulting Moses in any way. But instead, what we see in that chapter is God invites Moses into the conversation. And I love that. I love the idea that God was actually leading Moses along in stages and steps. He first wanted him to see that the Promised Land was a blessing. He then wanted him to see that Israel deserved nothing but, you know, God's judgment, as we all do.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are blessed because we deserve it.
Right, right.
But then he was leading Moses to the place where Moses would then lean deep into God's grace and into His mercy. And it brought Moses to the place where he felt this desperate need to pray, and to pray, throw himself upon the love and the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I think that's really an amazing part of this chapter, is to realize that God, where Moses ended up in this prayer, where God was leading him all along. He wanted Moses to move beyond judgment to see God's grace and mercy, which it was rooted not in the people's goodness, but in God's goodness,
right,
not in the people's righteousness, but God's, not
right,
not in how wonderful we are, but how wonderful God is.
Right, right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, for sure. No, I thought it was great. I thought the way you said it yesterday was you know, very profound, in how you kind of shared where Moses' heart was in going to God and asking Him for, you know, His grace and his his forgiveness of all the wicked things that, you know, that that the Israelites had done at that point, you know, and how great. I thought it was interesting too, how Moses starts his prayer of saying, you know, like how great and powerful, you know, God is, you know, and how he led them out of Egypt and to not show his anger, you know, towards the Israelites. And I love that Moses in that time was still so humble of who God, you know, is, in that moment, you know, and going to him. And because, you know, probably a lot of people would have looked at Moses and said, you know, like, oh, well, you know, Moses did all the work, you know, what I mean? Like, that's the human side of everything, of everybody. Right.
Yes.
You know, and, but still at that moment, Moses is not taking any of the credit and giving all of the credit to God, you know? And I thought that that was really interesting on how he did that.
It is interesting. I think I didn't really say it strongly enough. I don't even know that I, maybe I kind of sort of referenced in the message, but not very much. Is what you're bringing out is that Moses begins his prayer with the word sovereign Lord.
Yes, he does.
And sovereign means you're totally in control.
Sure.
Which is very interesting. Yes. Sometimes we look at this chapter and go, well, God is, you know, changing his mind, or he's not in control, because Moses now becomes the determination of what God does, as if, but Moses from the very beginning of his prayer is recognizing God's sovereignty.
Yes.
It's like, God, you're in the control of everything.
Yeah.
And, and so this isn't about Moses coming and saying, I have an idea you've never thought of, or how about considering plan B, my plan, which is, I think, better than yours.
Right.
It's a matter of Moses recognizing, as you say, who God is in a humble way, and then being mindful of his character, his promise, and then leaning hard into that in that prayer, because it's like when you realize the severity of our sin, when we realize what we really deserve, and that's all of us, and I think any of us, we kind of have those wake-up calls in our lives when we fail and we go, wow, I can't believe I could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, those happen, you know, over, those happens over time as you've been a believer, and you realize, wow, if it wasn't for the grace of God, if not for the grace of God.
Right.
And
right.
So Moses is being led there, and he prays on behalf of the people, and the chapter says, Deuteronomy 9 says, God listened to him. It's just, to me, a marvelous thing about prayer is that God does invite us into this conversation.
Yes, yes, very much so. Very much so.
So here's what I want to do. I want to just give some things that would be more of a follow-up to the message that we talked about, the idea of, like, what does prayer do? Why do we pray? I kind of teased it a little bit in the message, but now I want to go full force into it. And I need to begin by just saying there's a mystery to prayer that I don't think any of us can fully understand. And so it might be a little presumptuous of us to say, well, we're going to answer the question of what prayer is. Prayer is, you know, it go beneath the whole concept of prayer is the struggle between free will and God's sovereignty and man's free will. And no one solved that one.
Right.
I mean, that's philosophers and theologians have been grappling with that for centuries, if not millennium. And no one's fully solved it. So we're not going to solve it either. There's a mystery to how God's purpose and our prayers kind of mix together. And it's I think it's beyond us to fully understand it.
Right.
But I think here's some things we could say. We need to say sometimes I think we think about prayer the wrong way when our first question is, does prayer make a difference?
Yeah.
We're forgetting that fundamentally what prayer is about is a relational connection with God.
Right.
God invites us into prayer because he wants us to communicate with him.
Yeah.
He wants us to have a relationship with him, and you can't have a relationship with someone if you don't talk with them.
Right, right.
And so I think it's really powerful that the very first thing Jesus taught us about prayer when he taught us to pray, how to pray, is he started with the word Father.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, first of all, about bringing a list of prayer requests to God. It's about relating to God as our Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
It's that deep relationship. And so we need to realize that prayer, first of all, before being about a wish list, is about this this deepening relationship with God.
Yes, yes. It reminds me of like when you are kind of, you know, starting, you know, in your walk with Christ and you know, like you, like kind of very Sunday school answer, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, well, it's just a conversation with God, you know, yes. You just start a conversation, you know, but it is very much that in that conversation, it draws you closer to God. You can now be in this relationship with Him and where you're sharing your concerns and your thoughts and know that He has a plan, but He's also our Heavenly Father. And so you can just talk, you know what I mean? And it's like when you kind of, it doesn't have to be this long. And I think sometimes, you know, even myself, like, it's like, I think sometimes I have to sit down and, you know, have like an essay worth of bullet points, yeah, uh-huh. you know, to talk to God about, you uh-huh, know? Uh-huh. And it's like, no, you just kind of, yeah. you just need to sit down and make some time to be able to pray and go to God with your, you know, concerns, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you think about it, you're right. Sometimes when someone's a new believer and they say, sure. I don't know how to pray. How do I pray? We tell them it's just like you have a conversation with someone. But what's right. interesting about conversation is that it's listening as well as speaking.
Yes, it is.
Conversation yeah. is two-way.
Right, yes.
And so sometimes we think of prayer as just us uploading
yes.
our stuff to God.
Yes.
And in reality, listening is a part of it and just
right.
being there in His presence.
Right.
A lot of it is just recognizing. Sometimes, you know, in marriage, in you know, some of the sweetest times is just being together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, and Alison Krauss has a song about that,
she
right?
Does have
she
a song
have a lyric
her.
About that?
Yeah,
like,
she does.
about no words at all. How's that
yeah,
go?
Yeah.
Something
when,
like
when
that?
You say nothing at all.
When you say nothing you at say all. Nothing you know, all. I don't, can't yeah, remember yeah, exactly yeah, 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 what the whole point of that song was, yeah. but it's
basically that. That whole yeah. song is about that. It's yeah. about just basically spending time together.
Just being together.
Just being together.
Without saying any words.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so prayer, that's part of it is yes. just to being in God's presence.
Yes.
We always are, but right. prayer recognizes it.
Yes, it does. Yes, yeah. it does. Yes, it yeah. does. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's relational, not transactional. And we need to start there. But then prayer also reorients us towards God's will. It's not so much about changing God's will. It's about right. reorienting us towards His will, getting
right.
us there.
Right.
And so right after Jesus, teaches us to pray, Father, He says, now I want you to pray your kingdom come.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us to glorify
right,
the Father.
Right,
and
right.
then He says, pray your kingdom come, your mm-hmm. will be done
yeah.
on earth as it is in heaven. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to take the reality of heaven and bring it to earth. We're trying to take, it's not about us saying here, it's not your will be done on heaven as it is on earth.
Right.
You know,
right.
we're not saying this is my earthly plan. Now heaven, make it happen. We're saying, what's your plan in heaven? Now bring it down to earth.
Right. Right.
And so that's the idea there. Not twisting God's arm, but rather being shaped and comforted, convicted, mm-hmm. reminded of who He is and what He wants to do. And a lot of times in prayer, I find this sense of relaxing that happens. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, God's in control.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and I don't know exactly what heaven has in mind.
Right.
And how it's going to play itself out on earth. But I come uptight and I leave a little bit more relaxed.
Right. Right. Well, and also like you were saying, like it reorients our minds, our hearts to like we were talking about a few podcasts ago to allow God to lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of kind of molding it to our will, right? We allow God we allow ourselves to let God lead us and let His will be done in our lives,
yes.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Prayer also expresses, it's a chance to express dependency and trust on God. It puts us in a position of a receiver rather than a controller.
Mm-hmm.
We are now coming to God to say, I trust you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the essence of the Christian faith is just that, faith.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to faith. And that happens as we come to God in prayer and saying, I'm trusting you for this. He does want us to bring every detail before him, not just because we think we have a good idea of how that should play itself out, but just to say, I'm trusting you with this. This is an area that I'm trusting you. And we've talked about this before on the podcast. He certainly wants us to tell him what we want, but it's in the end, we're just trusting him in that area because his plan is far greater than ours.
Yes. Yes, very much so. Yeah. I think we talked about it a while ago where like there's this like, picture and there's like this little boy or little girl and she like is holding this like little teddy bear and she's like praying that the picture is kind of showing that like she's trying to make this little, like she thinks that this is the only teddy bear that she has, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's like Jesus and he's holding like a really big teddy bear. Right. Yeah. And it basically, it's kind of showing in a way that it's like God's will is so much bigger than ours, but we only can see this little teddy bear. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh,
and God has this like huge, you know, it's like, I can't remember where I saw it, but I saw it in one of the kids' books or something like that. And I was like, oh, that is actually pretty profound.
Yeah. I can picture it. I've never seen it, but I can picture it exactly as you describe it. Yeah. It's a good visual for us. And I feel like we come back to this, you know, time and time again in you and me in our conversations, but it's because this is really, I think, core to who we are. It's how our faith kind of looks and where we live with our faith. And we always are living in this life with this disconnect between what we're experiencing and what we hope for. And so we bring God into that. And that's what prayer is, to say, Lord, I want to see you at work in this situation. But a lot of it is releasing our small, limited wishes.
Yes.
And to embrace his bigger plan, his bigger purpose.
Yes.
And maybe we've talked about that before as you're listening, and maybe you've heard us talk about that before, but I find this is that there's times I need to hear it again and again and again. And there's times when I heard it before and I go, oh, yeah, that's a good point. And then I hear it and I go, oh, that's exactly what I needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's good. It's good. All of this is meant to highlight prayer, not diminish it. And so I hope you're getting that message. You and I are big believers in prayer.
Yeah.
And apparently from scripture, it seems that God talks about prayer a lot. The book of Psalms is a prayer book in many ways. It's a whole 150 chapters of prayers. God has ordained prayer to accomplish his will because he wants us to participate in his work. And so, James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so it really is something that God has put into our lives and he wants us to utilize. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's very enjoyable and very faith, producing and faith confirming when we see our prayers answered.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel this way? Sometimes I feel like, this is not a healthy attitude, but I just feel this way. Sometimes I go, oh, I don't want to pray about that because that seems too small.
Yeah.
And like if God answered that, I would almost feel guilty because I have other things that I wish he would answer,
right,
or maybe other people in my life that
right
are going through something really way more serious than the little thing I'm praying about.
Right.
And so I feel like, oh, I shouldn't pray about this because I really should put all my energy in praying for that person and their huge need.
Right.
And yet God wants us to bring the big things and the small things to him.
Yeah.
And when he shows up, answering those little little prayers.
Sure.
It's just a reminder that he's got the whole picture in mind.
Right. I also think like, and maybe this is just, the human side of me, and like maybe I should change my perspective on it. But I also times I like when someone's going through something, and you see, something on Facebook or Instagram or something, and then you go to the comments and people are like, oh, I'll pray for you. It's like, I kind of almost think like sometimes like we throw it around, but we really don't mean it.
We don't actually pray.
We don't actually do it.
We just say, I'll pray for you.
Right. So I've been trying to like change my mindset on that, if I'm going to pray for you, or you're asking, or this is your need that you have, and you're like, I'm going to set aside time and really do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I think, especially in our church circles and things like that, it's like we can kind of just throw the term around, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know? And I think we really do mean it, but I just don't think we...
Do we get around to it?
That's what I'm saying. We don't set the proper time for it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that we in this, you know, in this passage with Moses, it's like he was setting the time to go to God and showing us that, you know? And I think that that's an example that we can definitely learn from.
Yeah.
You
know? I find, I know exactly, I'm interested you say that, because I found the same tension in my own life and kind of like wondering how's that, is that really happening?
Right.
And I find at least like when you're talking to someone, it's hard because you tell them I'm going to pray for you, but now you're in the middle of a conversation.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard to do it right then, although I guess you could.
Right.
But I find if I'm writing it, because often it's like, you know, a text or an email or something that I will pray before I write it.
Nice.
You know,
that's
I'll
a
like
good,
stop
yeah,
and
yeah,
just,
yeah.
And so then
I'm gonna start doing that.
I know that, you know, it's
right.
It's going to happen.
It's going
to,
yeah.
I won't
yeah.
write this unless I've already done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's a good,
but in conversation, I think it's a little trickier to put that into practice.
Yes, for sure.
But you know, how this all fits together. We started out by saying it's this tension between free will and God's sovereignty.
Yes.
He somehow has a master plan in mind that isn't shaken by our sin, our righteousness for that matter. His plan is intact, regardless of the good things or the bad things we do, regardless of what we pray for or what we forget to pray for. His plan is intact, but he invites us to make a difference in a real difference through our prayers and through our actions in this world. And I want to say that those prayers and those actions really do make a difference. It's not just me, you know, recognizing that God has a plan. It's more than that. It really does. He says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So it really does make a difference. Spurgeon used to talk about it this way. He used to talk about, and I don't know if I've ever shared this analogy with you before. It was back in the day when the main transportation was trains.
Right.
And he said, you could get on a train and that, let's say, because he was British, he says, you're going from London to Edinburgh, let's say, on a train. And so, I don't know, 5 hours. I don't know how long it takes. Let's say it's a fast train, 5 hours to get there. While you're on the train, you can go any direction you want. You can go forward. You can go backwards. You have complete free will to do whatever you want. You can sleep. You can pray. You can eat. You can relax. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
You have complete free will, but your free will on that train doesn't change the destination.
You know,
the big picture of God is that you're going to start here. You're going to get there. He's going to finish the work that he started in your life. But in the meantime, we can kind of resist it, or we can participate in it. You can enjoy the scenery, and or you can kind of end up doing something that's maybe not back then stuck on your phone, but whatever it is, you know, where you're just wasting your time.
Right.
And we have the choice, but in the middle of it, God's plan. That doesn't, you know, that analogy doesn't answer it completely. But the idea is that we do have true free will, but that free will is never thwarts God's ultimate plan or his ultimate sovereignty. As we said, Moses began with the prayer, sovereign God.
Yes.
So it's not so much about changing God. It changes us, but it also invites us into the process, into this relationship with him where we get to be a part of what he's doing, and how rewarding it is when we pray for something, we see it come through, and we go, God, how amazing that you allowed me to sort of be a part of that process.
Yeah. Well, and like you were saying, it allows us to put our mindset on God and what he wants to do in our lives. It takes us out of the picture, you know, to partner with God, to let him lead It puts us in this right mindset, yes. You know, of just going, listen, you have a plan. You are the sovereign God, mm-hmm. right? You know, and it's just like, it just takes all of the human nature of us, of wanting control, of wanting all these things to go in a certain direction. And just goes, you know what? I'm just letting God take the lead on this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's great. Yeah.
If we were, I love the idea of just focusing on the sovereign God. And then if you got me thinking, the prayer also focuses on God being loving and yes. gracious, is yes. full of promises, forgiving.
Yep.
In all those things. And I feel like it's striking me now, if we compare it to a train ride, the train ride that God takes Moses on
yeah.
in this chapter is that they start with their, God's promise for mm-hmm. them of mm-hmm. what he wants them to do, his goal for them to get them to the promised land. He takes them through the valley of their failure.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're looking out the window going, yikes, we blew it big time over and over and over
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
And then the train ends up taking them to God's mercy and grace, grounded yeah. in his character, yeah. not their goodness, but his goodness towards them. And that's where God wants to take us to in that process. So that's why we talked about it being the prayer of grace, because that's where God wants to lead us. He mm-hmm. wants to lead his people there.
Yes, yes, very much so.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's a helpful way for you to think about it as we follow up from the message that we gave on Sunday morning. I do have a listener question
hey.
That I want to throw out.
All right.
And this was a funny one to me. It goes back to a few episodes ago
okay.
where we were talking about how much you have a man crush on Phil Wickham.
Oh my God,
this is coming back.
This is so funny because somebody brought this up to me yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, that was so funny. That like, we had moved on and it was so funny.
They haven't moved on.
They haven't moved on.
They have not moved on. And in that conversation, we were talking about how often I quote C.S. Lewis
yes.
Yes. compared to how often you... sing a Phil Wickham song.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
here's the question, and I think both of us can answer this. I'd be interested to see what you say. It says, the question is, does Ryan play more Phil Wickham songs than Doug quotes C.S. Lewis on any given Sunday? So what do you think? I don't know how many songs are actually Phil Wickham songs, but what do you think? The ratio? You think it's more C.S. Lewis quotes from me or more Phil Wickham songs from you?
I would probably say it's pretty even.
I don't know. How many Phil Wickham songs did we do yesterday?
Let me think. I actually don't think we did any.
Oh, I didn't quote C.S. Lewis, though. So we're
okay.
still
0-0. Hey, we're still 0-0.
Still 0-0, yeah.
Let me see.
So Ryan's looking
up. I'm looking.
He's looking at his catalog of songs here that he's led recently.
Right. I remember the songs we did yesterday, but the cool thing, and this is what, you know, not to, you know, I'm a little biased on how great Phil is, but what actually makes him really great is he co-writes a lot of songs that he does not perform.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of songs that are
attributed to different artists.
Yes. And then you look at the since we have to have all the licensing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at the licensing and go, well, there he is
again. He wrote that one again.
There's a lot of wow. songs that Brooke Frazier, who is the most famous Hillsong singer,
mm-hmm.
A lot of songs that she sings, Phil actually wrote.
Nice.
And that, you know, they wrote together or whatever. And so he has no versions of those songs and she has the most famous versions of those songs. So,
yeah.
you know, that's what makes him so great. So I'm looking at our set list from yesterday to see if he has one.
All right. See if any of the songs that weren't actually attributed to him.
Right.
I mean, weren't actually, you know, recognized as something he sang.
Right.
Were actually songs that he wrote or co-wrote. By the way, can you just, we want our listeners to realize just how much Ryan is gushing over Phil Wickham right now compared to, what have I said about C.S. Lewis? Very little.
Very little.
Very little here, very, but you know, yeah, you're just going on and on.
I am. I know. It's no, I don't think so. Yesterday, right. No, we didn't have anything.
So what do you think? In general, more Phil Wickham songs on a Sunday or more C.S. Lewis quotes on a Sunday?
I would probably say more Phil Wickham just because of the co-writes.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you know, when you quote C.S. Lewis, you know, there's no like co-quotes, you know?
I mean, I can honestly, I would agree with you because yeah. I can honestly go weeks easily, yes. maybe months without a C.S. Lewis quote.
Okay, hold on. Pause. Pause.
Weeks at least.
Weeks at least.
Weeks, six, seven, 8 weeks without.
Okay, three tops.
But Phil Wickham, I think you could do two or three a Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Well, depending on if they're, you know, fully written by him or if he's yeah. got co-write. Like yeah. I said, you know, yeah. so we're, yeah. we've been very blessed at our church with a lot of great female vocalists. Mm. So, you know, he writes a lot of songs with a lot of other great female worship leaders. Yeah. So, you know, we pull a lot from that stuff. So, yeah, right. yeah, we definitely do more Phil songs than we do.
Okay,
C.S.
listener, the answer to your question is Ryan plays more Phil Wickham songs than Doug quotes C.S. Lewis. And if your question was, does Ryan try to look more like Phil Wickham?
Oh, my gosh.
Then Doug tries to look like C.S. Lewis, then yes, that is absolutely true, too.
I think Phil Wickham has better style than C.S. Lewis. You heard it here first.
I'm with you on that. Totally with you on that. That we agree there too. All right. Well, again, if you want to get into the drawing to get a hat or and a bottle opener, simply leave a comment on this. Even if you don't want to enter, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
I'd love to know where you're listening from. I'd like to give a shout out to different cities around. The county or the country, who knows, where you might be listening around the world. If that's the case, we'd like to know about this. Hope this has been an encouragement to you. You can reach out to us at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com or certainly leave a comment on YouTube. If you'd like to listen to this, the message that this is connected to is called Learning to Pray the Prayer of Grace, and you can find it at greenvalleychurch.com. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you, Doug.
Great conversation. Thank you to our enthusiastic viewers and listeners. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.